Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the final show of this 2021/22 season, week 18 of the Power Grid, presented by, of course, Football Guys and RotoGrinders.com. I am Dan Bach, and joining us tonight, we got Devin Knox, we got John Tipton-Lee, and somewhere our buddy Phil. Hopefully he's feeling a little bit better under the weather here today, but I know he's staring at his beautiful JPEG somewhere. So
he made all his money in NFTs, and he just doesn't care about us.
Exactly. So get better, Phil. As always, we thank you guys so much for joining us. It's been a long season. We wrap it up this week, and it's always an intriguing week 18. And we're going to lay it out for you the best we can here on a Thursday. I think I'll give a few sports betting picks today. Why not? You know, season long is certainly over. Daily fantasy is tough. But I think there's a few spots in the sports betting world maybe we can take advantage of. So we're going to get into that here a little bit as well. Let's lead it off with Devin. How are you doing, my man? What do you think of this week 18? Like, where do you fall on week on the final week of fantasy football for DFS? You feel like it's there's big edge to be had, or is it just frustrating as because we've got half the teams not willing to play anymore?
I admittedly have been so focused in on this Baker Mayfield saga that I'm very glad that the fan base has completely turned against him. If you followed this show for the last 3 years, you know my hatred for him. So very glad that he will probably not be with the Browns anymore. This week's interesting. Week 18 is always tough because you need to figure out what teams are motivated. So the way I like to do it is I like to look at the teams that are in playoff contention that need a win, or the teams that have been out of it for quite some time and they're looking at player evaluation and they're really not going to change all that much. The teams I'm trying to avoid are the teams in the, sort of that just got eliminated here in the last week or so. Had a big letdown. They're probably not going to play their starters all that much, or they're not going to be that motivated just to play in general because they had a tough loss last week. So a team like Cleveland, like Miami, those types of teams are the teams that I would be avoiding this week.
All right, let's head over to the professor who I know has a sheet in front of him that has all the information that we need to know in terms of who's got motivation, who's in, who's out. What do we got, John? Because, again, this is paramount this week more than ever, is to know the narratives and know the playoff situation. So take us through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually this year, I think, is a little more straightforward than a lot of years. You've got two teams that are pretty much guaranteed to rest their starters. Those are the Green Bay Packers. They're facing the Detroit Lions and the Cincinnati Bengals against aforementioned Browns. In both cases, there's not a whole lot that can happen that can alter their playoff scenarios. And so despite some coach speak coming out of Green Bay, there isn't a whole lot of reason to believe much is going to change there. So there isn't much to like from those two teams this week. Outside of that, there is some interpretive consideration to take, as Devin has talked about with teams like Cleveland and Miami and your take there. And then, you know, I've got a list here, and as you talked about, it's red, green, and yellow. It's a stoplight system, and I'll be referring to this throughout the show in terms of who has motivation to play and why. The yellow teams, as you saw, represented about half. Those are teams that really don't have a lot to play for, but outside of maybe jobs and that kind of thing. So it's an interesting week. I'm a big fan of week 18. I think there's a real edge because I think it's difficult to do the work. And at this point, after 4 months, 4.5 months, I think a lot of people back away from it. And for that reason, it gives an edge to the people who want to put in that one last week of work. And, from my personal perspective, I think it was 3 years ago, I won a 1 week in week 17, not week 18, obviously. I won high five figures in that week just because I had done a little more research, and obviously there's some luck involved, and it all came together for me.
Well, are we sure the Packers are sitting their players?
Well, I mean, the coach is saying that they're not.
So LaFleur said he's not comfortable with the 3-week layoff. So
exactly.
The bye worries me a little bit there.
But what's going to happen is they're going to play a quarter and a half, yeah, and then they'll be done. And it's not like they're the Houston Texans that cost $4,800. They're all these guys are high priced and they're not going to get anywhere near value. So you basically got to X those guys out.
Do you think it's Jones and Dylan or just Jones?
Oh, I don't think Dylan plays all four quarters. I mean, he's
okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I could see him.
I could see him playing too. I think it's more like a half instead of a quarter, but I think there's definitely going to be a situation because let's lead off with this, because this is like the gambling thing that's driving me absolutely crazy. I've tweeted about it and I still don't get it. 1 week away from the end of the season, so therefore the MVP vote, you got Aaron Rodgers as a minus 400 favorite, Tom Brady sitting there at plus 550. Why is Aaron Rodgers hands down the MVP, according to the odds makers, over Tom Brady? Considering Brady has more touchdowns, more yards, you could probably make the argument a worse supporting cast based on some injuries. And, you know, let's say somehow that Green Bay loses this week. They're only 4-point favorites, and Tampa would win. They would end up with the same record.
I mean, the real question is, why isn't Jonathan Taylor the MVP?
Well, because quarterbacks win the MVP. There's your answer.
But yes, I think that the value is skewed. You're gonna have people like this Chicago dummy who came out and said that he's not voting for him because he doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're gonna have people that I think there's value in Brady potentially getting it.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers' numbers were like light years better last year than this year, and he just won. Like, you have voter fatigue. Like, what's the better story? Aaron Rodgers winning back to back or Tom Brady at 44 years old winning an MVP? I think it's Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, look, I'll play devil's advocate here. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I think the argument with Rodgers is he's been playing through an injury all season. He's got some broken toe or something. He's got four backup offensive linemen and a rookie offensive lineman. He's got basically one receiver. You know, you could make an argument saying that he's pulled this all together. I don't know that justifies the 2-1 odds or 3-1 odds between the two, but you know, to play devil's advocate, there's a strong argument for Aaron Rodgers to win.
I think it should be 55-45 Rodgers, which means that there's value for Brady.
That I agree. And that's the point I'm trying to make is it shouldn't be a runaway. If you want to make the case he's better, fine. But 4-1 versus plus 550.
Jonathan Taylor's running for 250 yards and 4 touchdowns this week.
We'll talk about Taylor in a different award here a little bit later because I got a take on this as well. All right, let's get into quickly Vegas here, John. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of teens in terms of these team totals. We got Jacksonville at like 14, Giants 15, Chicago, Cincinnati, both under 20. Tell us the spots that, you know, Vegas is looking at in terms of the games that might have some fireworks here in this last week.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to like this week in terms of high scoring games. That there are two games I've got my eye on. That's Seattle going over to Arizona. You've got two capable quarterbacks there. Obviously, Arizona's got something to play for. They could go anywhere from fifth playoff seed to second or third. So they're going to be out there. And Russell Wilson, to me, is he's the type of quarterback that's going to go out there and play no matter what. I think they're 6-10 going into this week. So they've got nothing to play for outside of just pride. But he's got some good receivers there. And we've seen over the past few weeks that he's got some upside. The Vegas total there is 48. The other one has a lower Vegas total, but you've got two teams who are way motivated. And one of them is likely not to get into the playoffs. And that's the San Francisco 49ers going over to LA, or going south, I should say, to LA to take on the Rams. These are two teams with offenses that have put up points this year. And I think that's a game that you can count on some points, and I kind of like the over there. Those are the two games I'll be looking at. On the lower end, I think the Jets have the lowest implied team total. that I've seen maybe as long as we've been doing this show, which is 12 and a half against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are huge favorites at the top of the Vegas value chart. They've got 28 and a half points implied team total, 16 point favorites. That makes Devin Singletary really, you know, he's peaking at the right time, getting a lot of action. We'll talk about him when we get to the running back section. And then speaking of running backs, Devin's already, we haven't even talked about anything. And Devin has mentioned Jonathan Taylor a number of times. The Indianapolis Colts are going up against your Jags, Dan, 15 and a half point favorites. They've got the highest implied team total on the board, just south of 30 points. And they're in a must-win situation. They need a, if they win, they're in. It's the only team this week out of, I don't know, 26 teams on the main slate. It's the only team that controls their own destiny. Everybody else is doing it with some sort of help from some other team. And I think that's going to drive up some massive ownership of Jonathan Taylor this week. But he's a, you know, and he's expensive. So it'll be interesting to talk about how to handle him.
266 yards to get to 2,000.
Well, real quick, what do we think his rushing prop will be? It is not posted.
176. I would say 123 and a half.
I saw it. Somebody talked about it on social media already. So you guys give your legitimate guesses.
123.
I think that's pretty good. I'll go like 120 is going to be my number.
104 and a half. I saw somebody posted on Twitter earlier.
Wow.
That seems low. Seems very low.
I want to say it was.
I'm looking here and see if I can. Okay, I got it here. I got it right here.
Okay.
Whoever that line is either moved or they were wrong. I'm seeing 115 on most books.
All right. So Brad Evans 3 hours ago posted Jonathan Taylor rush yards against Jax opens at FanDuel at 104 and a half, and it was minus 114 juice at that time.
Okay, well, it got bet up 10 yards. 114 is the
number. It should be 176 and a half. that 104 was just the first half, right?
Yeah, right. I like that. All right, let's get into quarterbacks here. And Devin, we'll kind of start with you in terms of where we want to go. Again, ownership and, you know, who people are going to play. It's really hard to tell this early in the week. But, you know, I think there's definitely going to be a few names that stand out, because here's the problem too. If you want to play Taylor, you want to play a guy like Cooper Kupp, who both those guys have major incentive this week. You might need to come down a little bit in terms of quarterback, but man, it's, you know, on week 18, you think there's some crapper out there who's going to draw a start, and you could easily do it. On DraftKings in particular, there's not anything cheap that looks remotely enticing to me.
No, I mean, the only guy, I think the chalk's going to be Trey Lance at 5,500 going up against the Rams. He's going to get enough rushing yards just to get there like he did last week. He didn't look good. He looked horrible. But I think that's where a lot of the ownership is going to go this week, just because people are going to want to pay up at the other positions. I mean, what did he end up with last week? Trying to pull it up, but he ended up getting 20 points. Like, that's more than enough.
He had 250 yards, a pair of touchdowns. So what's that? That's 8 plus.
20.06 is where he ended up. I mean, 31 rushing yards. I think he runs more this week against the Rams in a game that they should need him a little bit more than they did against Houston, although that game was closer than it should have been. The other guy that I'm looking at, and I can't spend up this week. I think I've mentioned where I'm spending my money. Is Taysom Hill. The guy's basically playing for his, I don't want to say his career as a starting quarterback, but it sort of is. Like, I think the decision's already been made that he can't really be a full-time starting quarterback. But if there was ever a week to maybe convince Sean Payton, who's the only guy that believes in Taysom Hill and giving him all this money, maybe one good start brings him back as the backup next year. I think he'll still be a tight end role, but 6,200 against the Falcons, I think, is a pretty good price. Although that Saints offense has just been horrendous the second half of the year. Alvin Kamara, I don't know what's going on there. Certainly his snap share has been down. He caught some passes last week, but he wasn't running the ball effectively. It was just a strange situation.
Yeah, I think Taysom is the guy I'm looking more at. John, are you at all nervous about Lance against the Rams? I mean, this is a guy who hasn't played much. The Rams defense, you know, they're in a must-win situation. They're at home. He didn't look great against Houston. I have a hard time seeing him being like a monster here. And not that he has to be at that price, but I worry about him against the likes of, you know, Aaron Donald and Von Miller and those guys.
I'm with you. Lance was not on my list of any plays this week at the moment, largely for the reason you said. He, and if we look at last week, he did get there. And I think in our three-man or our four-man that we play every week, I think we all had Trey Lance last week for our cash game quarterback. And he got there, but he got there late. It was largely in, maybe not in garbage time, but at the end of the game, very least. I think, you know, Devin said he's not spending up and he's going to have a difficult time doing it, but I think you can get there with Taysom Hill at 6,200. This is a quarterback in the past four games. He's had double digit carries in every single one of those games. And when you think about quarterback, really that's what you want, are those guaranteed cash game quarterback. You want those guaranteed points, and you really get it when a guy is running as often as he is. He's the guy that comes out top of the list for me. And I actually don't even have another cash game quarterback listed this week. I think you could make an argument for a guy like Josh Allen or Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a bit cheaper at 5,800. I just like Taysom Hill and what he does on the ground. So for me, that's where it starts and ends in cash.
I think Stafford for 500 more, you could maybe make an argument for. Again, just for the fact that game does matter, he's going to be in for four quarters and he's been injured the last couple of weeks. So maybe this is a spot, but I tend to agree with you there. Now let's get into tournaments, Devin. Give us some guys that we can potentially roll out and likely some stacks, I'm guessing, in tournaments.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to start with Kirk Cousins, 6,100 going up against the Bears. The Bears' pass defense has been – hold on. I have the wrong team. Ignore everything I just said. It's week 18. Please forgive me. It's – John, go ahead. I need to recollect my thoughts real quick.
All right. I'll say and we're talking tournaments here. So, you know, when we get to tournaments, obviously it's high risk, high reward. The game that I kind of, it's off the radar and nobody's going to be on it, but I like both quarterbacks in the Miami New England game this week. The receivers are dirt cheap on both sides, and you've got two capable quarterbacks who are who are coming into their own. They're $5,300 and $5,400 respectively. And the receivers, none of them are above 5,000. I like stacking up that game, going back and forth with names like Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar is coming back at 3,400, and then taking one of those cheap quarterbacks, and then stacking that up against the Jonathan Taylor that we're going to talk about in a bit with some of the more expensive guys, because then the ownership doesn't matter on Jonathan Taylor et al. Because nobody's going to be on this game. That's a game I like. And then the other quarterback I have listed for GPPs this week is Russell Wilson. I want to go back to him one more time before the end of the year. Russell is going up against Arizona. We know Arizona needs the win. So Arizona should put up points. They're coming off of a week where maybe they didn't score as many points as a lot of folks expected against the Dallas Cowboys. If they come back with a vengeance, Russ could do the same thing. He's only 6,300, and obviously we know he's got a pair of receivers there that are world-class.
I like that call. All right, let's move on to the running back position.
Give me one second.
Oh, sorry, Devin.
You're fine. Two names.
You had the brain fart, so
yeah,
go for it.
Two names. One, it was the other side of that game. Andy Dalton is interesting. And before John just throws all his papers across the room, they've allowed 280 yards or more in four of the last five games. And I'm talking about the Vikings defense. those quarterbacks that they've faced, Justin Fields, Ben Roethlisberger, and Jared Goff, like that's a pretty bottom of the barrel quarterback situation there. This game is in Minnesota. It could sneaky shootout. I don't hate Andy Dalton at 5,300. I sort of like him more than Tua down there at the bottom of the barrel. And the other name that, you know, I think we should probably mention that's going to be popular is Josh Allen. I'm not doing it just because he's way too expensive and he limits what you can do. But I do think a lot of people are going to go there simply because of the rushing touchdown upside. Although I think you can get the rushing upside that he has with Taysom Hill or Trey Lance. And then Lamar Jackson might be interesting if he does play, but I don't think he's going to play. So Pittsburgh's run defense is absolutely horrendous, but I don't think Lamar is going to play this week. I think it's going to be Tyler Huntley once again, which doesn't excite me nearly as much as what Lamar would.
All right, let's move on to the running back position here. And we've already talked about Jonathan Taylor, and Devin thinks he's going to rush for 200 yards. I want to add
267.
267 is enough. Okay, here's it. I think we're on different sides of this here. So offensive player of the year usually goes to somebody who's not a quarterback. So Vegas right now has that set at minus 110 for Taylor and minus 110 for Cooper Kupp. Who do you think wins that award? True coin flip here, according to them.
Taylor should win it.
I totally disagree.
I'm going to go with Taylor as well.
Tell me why.
Less talent around him. You know, LA's got some good pieces, better overall offense. You can make the argument, the counter argument to that is that the Colts have a great offensive line, but I think it's really difficult to be a dominant running back in this league. It's not as difficult to be a dominant wide receiver.
I think Devontae Adams has closed the gap enough over the last couple of weeks that he will steal votes from Cooper Kupp.
You know, Cooper Kupp is only like 12 receptions and like 190 yards away from setting receiving like all-time records this season. Do you guys realize that, right?
And you realize that Jonathan Taylor's 267 away from 2,000 rushing yards?
Yeah, but you know what? There's been plenty of people who have run for – well, not plenty. There's been others who have accomplished that. Think about eras, right?
It's more passing yards in this era than it has been in the – To be at 2,000 rushing yards is ridiculous in this era.
Derrick Henry just did it last year, right?
Like, yeah, but he won Offensive Player of the Year.
But here's the difference. Here's the thing. When we look back at this season, people will not remember Jonathan Taylor. People will remember this year that Cooper Kupp, this guy who you look at, who there's no way that he's the most dominant receiver in the league could potentially set, and I think will set, all-time records. So I'm going to go clearly with the all-time records over something that somebody just did the year prior. Cooper Kupp's winning that award. I will happily make a little side wager with both of you if you would if you guys are interested in such thing.
Sure.
I might be interested in that. Text me. Let's talk about
that. So the case that I make is, are the Colts even competitive without Jonathan Taylor? And I don't think they are. If you have Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack, they're like a 3-win team. Stafford and this Rams team are still going to be fine without Cooper Kupp. That's the difference.
Cooper Kupp is dominating, though.
He is. Just
absolute dominant player.
Statistically,
like, I don't think people look at Jonathan Taylor as a dominant player.
Oh, I think you're thinking Los Angeles and all the hype. And
no, I'm thinking you look at Derrick Henry. He was a dominant player last year. So nobody looks at Jonathan Taylor and has a cool nickname or anything for him except, oh, they get down to the 2-yard line and he plows it in for a touchdown. Now, admittedly,
you know how many 2-yard runs you'd need to get to 2,000. Here's my other
point. He's a very good running back.
Here's my other point. What's the average age of the voter?
I don't know.
70? They're all asleep at 6 o'clock when Cooper Kupp is doing his thing. They're all having Sunday family dinners. They're not sitting down watching the afternoon games. They see Cooper Kupp at noon and they're like, this is great.
All I know is and maybe it's our clouded view, is you won a lot more money playing Cooper Kupp this year than you probably did playing Jonathan Taylor in DFS.
That's right.
So
speaking of DFS, let's go back.
Okay, sorry. That was a good debate, though. Running backs. Okay, Jonathan Taylor, jam him in. He's probably should have a really good game against the dreadful Jaguars. Who else do we want to consider here? John, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I've got three people beyond Jonathan Taylor on my cash game list. The first one I'm going to say is my least favorite, but he's next in line in terms of expense. That's Dalvin Cook against Chicago at 7,800. He's a great play. It's just I don't know whether I can fit him in because, as you already talked about, Dan, there aren't a lot of value receivers this week, and we're going to get there in just a moment. You're going to have to spend a little bit on receivers this week in cash to feel remotely good about your cash game lineups. And so I'm likely to go Taylor and then these two running backs, one at the running back position, one in the flex position. Those are Devin Singletary against the Jets at 6,000. I think we talked about this. Devin and I did on the two-man show last week. He's just getting all the action right now. And he did it again last week, and I think he got into the end zone a pair of times.
It's the Jets. You play running backs against the Jets.
Oh, yeah, and you play running backs against the Jets.
It's not James Robinson.
And then you've got Sony Michel against San Francisco. It's that same, that game we talked about already, where we know the best players are going to be out there, and Sony has gone into this bell cow role. And he's only 6,000. I don't know why they haven't raised his price, but just take that as a gift for your cash game lineup. So this week, I'm definitely playing three running backs on my cash game lineups because I think that that's where the safest place to spend your money is. And you've got about 21,000 wrapped up in those three running backs.
Quick warning, Cam Akers is supposed to play this week. So I do think that sours Sony a little bit. And I don't think they would bring him back the week before the playoffs unless they thought this guy was like 100%.
Do you think, what kind of action do you think that he gets? I saw the same thing.
10 carries.
I think that's seven or eight, but
yeah
I would have 10 said touches, eight. Maybe. Okay. So, I mean, I don't think Sony's a bad play because of the price. I just want to let everybody know he is back this week.
Go ahead. I have Sony on my list. I think at 5,700, Deontay Foreman might be a better play. If you look at last week, they're getting this offensive line ready for Derrick Henry to come back. He had 26 carries for 132 yards and a touchdown last week. I think against Houston, he gets another 20 to 25 carries. They get this offensive line ready for Henry coming back for the playoffs, getting the offense ready and prepared, even though that Henry's not going to be there this week. The other guy that I'm looking at a little bit, I don't know that I love him in cash, is Rashad Penny. I just don't know that I buy into like this recent surge. He's had two incredible games against the Bears and against the Lions. But, I mean, 17 carries and 25 carries for 135 yards and 170 yards. Is Rashad Penny all of a sudden Jonathan Taylor? No. I mean, he's faced two really bad defenses. Arizona's run defense isn't great, but I think it's more boom or bust there. So I'm a little bit more hesitant on Penny, probably more of a GPP play. And then I sort of like DeAndre Swift a little bit as a GPP play at 5,900. If Green Bay truly does bench all of their players, we've seen Swift have these monster games. Detroit, I mean, you got to give them credit. They've been sort of hit or miss, but when they're playing, they're playing. I mean, they are coming out and they're actively trying to win games. They could have given up on the season at 0-10 or whatever they were, 0-11, but they've been fighting for most of the season outside of a couple games. They tied Pittsburgh. They were close with Cleveland. They've had a couple just battles. They should have beat Baltimore. So they could be the AFC North champs if they were in that division. But I think Swift might be interesting and go under the radar just because people don't like to play the Lions.
I really like Foreman, and boy, does it do I hate saying that, because I think I mocked him like 4 weeks ago really, really bad. But the volume is there, the matchup is there, the game matters, and he's under 6K. The other name that you didn't bring up, and he's back this week, is Antonio Gibson. He gets the Giants, another guy who's 5.8K on DraftKings, and didn't play last week, so I think he might fly under the radar a little bit here because people don't know if he's going to go, but he should go by all indications. So I think price per dollar right now, especially on Roto-Grinders lineup HQ, he's like the top guy that we have price per dollar. So keep your eye on him as a potential play. And I'm going to make a quick warning too here, is I know Arizona has a lot to play for. That team worries me here a little bit, listening to some of the stuff Kingsbury said early in the week. Is he hinted that next week is what really matters, and they don't he's not committing to playing either Connor or Edmonds all that much just based on their injuries. So I'm telling you right now, Arizona is a team I would very much steer kind of away from. And even if one of those guys technically goes, I don't know how much they're going to play, just listening to some of the coach talk. So
Yeah.
throwing that little bit of warning out this week.
They're both fades on my model as well.
Yeah.
I think
Any interest in David
Keyshawn
Montgomery
Vaughn.
this week? A couple touchdowns last week, gets Minnesota.
For me, it always depends on ownership. I don't know where's RG having? Where Devin, you have?
15.
I'm a little less than that, but
Okay.
in the
Yeah,
same ballpark.
I've got him right around 15. So that's about where you should be. He's not a strong play. He's not a bad play at that point. That's about right. I like the DeAndre Swift call. The player. What about Najee Harris, guys? He had what 30 touches on Monday night. This team is going to run him into the ground by the time he's like 23 or 24. He comes out as pretty high for me. I don't know if do you have a number on him, Dan, in terms of
We're only at 10 on him,
yeah.
probably because of, people want to jam Taylor, people want to jam Cook. It's hard to get in as another 7K guy.
Yeah, this is a team that only has one way into the playoffs, and that's by winning this game. They won the game on Monday night against the was the Browns, right, Devin? That was the
Yeah.
Browns. Yeah, it was the Browns, and it wasn't through Ben Roethlisberger, who threw the ball 50 times for 120 yards. It was through Najee, which is crazy. It was through Najee Harris, and it's going to happen again. That's exactly what they're going to do against the Ravens this week. And folks aren't going to get behind him. He's a guy I like in tournaments that I think is going to go overlooked.
If Deontay Johnson's out, I like him. Otherwise, the matchup is pretty tough against Baltimore.
I think he's out.
Yeah, I think
Johnson.
so.
I know he's on the COVID list, but
Yeah.
people are coming back in like 3 days at this point, so who knows?
Yeah, I think today was the day where if you turned up positive, you're not going to be able to make it. So I think he's going to be out. So
Got it.
all right, let's move on to wide receiver and Cooper Kupp, 9,700, future offensive player of the year here in the NFL after this week. Gets San Francisco, mighty fine matchup. John and Cash, I'm guessing you're just jamming Cook and Taylor together in cash games. Is that accurate?
When you the first name you said, Cup.
Cup, sorry, Cooper Cup, yes.
I don't know that you can get there, to be honest. I mean, you're basically taking up 40% of your salary. I'm not sure you can get there. I would love to do it. So if you can, and the opportunity cost is not too high, then do it. But on my list of wide receivers this week, I won't go through them all and why. But the players that I have, the highest player in terms of salary is Jaylen Waddle and Brandon Cooks, both at 6,300. Then Michael Pittman at 59, Cole Beasley at 48, and Ray McCloud at 38. I think he'll end up being popular because of Deontay Johnson and because you just need the salary relief. But to get up into that plus 7K range when you're already going with Taylor at 93, I just don't know that you can get Kupp without it being just too expensive, because there isn't a lot of value elsewhere.
I locked them in our optimizer on Roto Grinders and clicked optimize. And the lineup looked good, until I noticed Juwan Winfrey was in it for 3K for the Green Bay Packers. Now, you know, if there's news that comes out that some of these Packers wideouts are going to sit or they're only going to play a quarter, Winfrey absolutely could be in play. And that would make it way easier. So I think I don't think it's impossible, but that includes a true 3K crapper there for Green Bay.
Emphasis on crapper.
What's that?
Emphasis on crapper.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we're going to need some things to break that way to, you know, towards people sitting and COVID and all sorts of stuff to be able to afford both. The first name I'm starting with is Chase Claypool. Similar to John's Ray McLeod. I just think Claypool's a better receiver. McLeod's sort of just a slot guy that maybe he gets the targets, maybe he doesn't. I don't really see a huge upside, but maybe he gets peppered with some low end targets. The one name that I continue to just pound the table on that, and I gave a PSA last week, is please stop playing DJ Moore. Like, this just isn't going to happen. He's the new Jacoby Myers, where everyone was playing him early on in the season, and then people are just wasting their money. Hit 3 for 29 last week, and once again was popular. Looking down the list, I do agree that it's sort of a tough week. I'm not into the whole Jalen Waddle thing. I know that John likes Miami versus New England. I'm not playing wide receivers or quarterbacks or anybody against this New England secondary. It's not how I want to build a lineup. I think Brandon Cooks might be interesting against Tennessee. So Tennessee's run defense has actually been one of the best in the second half this season. The way to beat them is through the air. So Brandon Cooks has been pretty good of late. I am just pulling up his game log here. He has 7 or more catches in, is that at least 3 games? Yeah, 3 straight games. And 3 touchdowns over his last 2. So I think if Houston has any chance at moving the ball, it'll be through the wide receiver down there in Brandon Cooks. The one situation that I'm monitoring pretty closely is this Cincinnati situation. So we know Joe Burrow's not going to play. I don't think Brandon or Jamar Chase or T. Higgins are going to play all that much.
No, I don't think so.
Tyler Boyd came out and said that he believes he is absolutely going to get to 1,000 yards. He needs 178 to get there. So if those guys are out, we've seen Brandon Allen chuck the ball around a little bit. He's not afraid to throw it. Joe Mixon looks questionable. I don't know that he's going to play. If he does, why? Like, this could be Tyler Boyd week. And just keep an eye on it, because if we start hearing that certain players aren't going to play, I know he's a little expensive at 6,100. Maybe he sits as well, but I think there's going to be some value in the Cincinnati game. They're still going to run the same offense. They're still going to throw the ball. They're not just going to turtle up and give the game to Cleveland, because Cleveland doesn't want to win. They're a dysfunctional team at the moment.
I think Chase will play a little bit. I think he's close to a Bengals record for receiving yards. And I also think, and I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but it's not quite a lock against Mac Jones. But I kind of think Boyd is interesting here. I think Higgins absolutely should be sitting here based on the injuries he's had. So it's kind of sneaky play. What about Allen Robinson at 4K? You like your boy Andy Dalton, 4K versus Minnesota. A-Rob, 6 targets last week.
Not for me. He came out right before last week and talked about his like long-term COVID situation and why he's been so bad this year. There's nothing really. If I'm going to take a receiver, it's going to be Darnell Mooney there. I think he had 13 targets last week.
Mooney's expensive. If you want value,
not as a cash game play, but as like a GPP play, if you want to stack him with Dalton, I think that's the guy.
So there's like nobody cheap we can play, like under 5K.
Cole Kmet. in Chicago. Well,
that's tight end.
You asked me in Chicago.
I was looking wide receivers in general. Like if you want to get Kupp and Taylor in, you need some sub 5K guys at this position. I can't wait for John to talk about Laquon Treadwell here in a minute because I'm sure that's coming.
He's not on my list.
What about this Grayson guy?
From Tampa Bay?
Yeah. Who do they need to get him snaps and get him, like, the guy was a sprinter. He didn't even play college football. Like, that was his first game that he's played since high school. I could see him being a little sneaky in a GPP. Probably not cash games, but...
Oh, hold on. Are you serious? That was his first game that he's played since high school?
Yes. He didn't play college football.
And he didn't play in the preseason? Like, that was legitimately his first game in history of his life.
I don't know about preseason, but preseason's not real football.
Okay. Okay.
Wow,
I had no idea. Like, I knew he had a
I take that back. He has played a couple games this year.
Okay.
It was the first time he had, like, a big game was this. But he's only played three career games.
I mean, DraftKings, kudos to them. They could have made those guys cheap, but he's 4-4. Yeah. Tyler Johnson's 4-2. Perriman's 5K.
Tyler Johnson sucks. Yeah. He's terrible.
Yeah. We've all lost money on that guy. Yeah. So Tampa, right. Interesting.
Look, I'll give you two names. These are 3K crappers. Take it for what it's worth. I already mentioned one. Nelson Aguilar against Miami. He's 3,400. He was getting a lot of snaps earlier in the season. He's been out for a while. I think he's going to go overlooked. He hasn't played in the last couple of weeks. He'll be back for this game. The other one is Deontay Harris against Atlanta. Early in the season, this guy was getting almost double-digit targets, I think, for the first 5 or 6 weeks. I can pull it up, but I think that's pretty accurate or close to accurate. And last week was his first week back. He was on a limited snap count. I expect him to be on the field a lot more this week. I think both of those guys are sleepers for GPPs. Don't put them into your cash game lineups. But if you need to diversify when you've got that double stack of Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp, you could do worse than putting one of those guys in.
So, John, let me ask you a question. So we talked about like five running backs that we liked between like 5,500 and 6,200. Do we just pay up for Cooper Kupp instead of Jonathan Taylor?
Well, I mean, it's almost returning back to the argument that we made earlier, right? About which one's the better player and who you're going to pay up for. You know, from my perspective, if I'm Indianapolis, I'm going to just feed the ball to Jonathan Taylor and make Jacksonville stop him. If I'm the San Francisco 49ers, if you double team or even triple team Cooper Kupp, you've still got Odell Beckham, you've got Cam Akers, you've got Sony Michel, you've got Tyler Higbee. You get a lot more there in terms of depth. And so from that end, I'm afraid that I would have to go with Jonathan Taylor. I just think he's the guy.
I think I might be changing.
Oh, no.
He has one catch in his last four games. Like, I know I joked and I said that he has 267-yard upside, which I think he could get there. But you look at it.
Play long enough to get there. They'll be up three.
If he has 150 yards at half, he's going for 2,000.
It's an 18-game season. People are going to get 2,000 yards all the freaking time. Like, I don't think it means what it used to.
No, it probably doesn't. But neither does 2,000 as a wide receiver. Jonathan Taylor has one reception in his last four games. They're just not throwing him the ball. So 108 yards and a touchdown is 19 points on DraftKings, which is what he had last week. He has to score probably twice to reach cash game value. Cooper Kupp has 9 or 10 receptions, 100 yards. That's 22 even without a touchdown. I might be going Cooper Kupp in cash this week and fading Jonathan Taylor just because of that PPR aspect. And I like the running back position more than I like this wide receiver. I mean, we're talking about guys that just like, who the hell is Cyril Grayson?
If you want to go that angle, Devin, I'm not going to argue with it, because the running back position is deeper. I mentioned four running backs who I liked. I said I was going to play three of them. I'm okay with going that way if that's where you land. But I still think, given the bell cow nature of his role, the high implied team total, and just the fact that he's going to touch the ball 30 times against one of the worst defenses in the league, for me, I'll stick with it. I think he outscores Cooper Kupp this week, and he's $500 cheaper, $200 cheaper.
The Kupp's prop is 116.5. Taylor is 115.5. The touchdowns obviously favor Jonathan Taylor. He's probably -300 to score a touchdown. Trying to pull it up now. But I think it's going to be closer than like I initially thought coming into this show.
So 267 is off the board? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think as a GPP play, I think that Taylor absolutely has that upside. He has – Taylor has 180, 200-plus yard upside with four touchdowns.
Dude, just play them both. Just play them both.
Can't.
It's too bad that
– You can play them both. I'll make this statement right now. Come Sunday, as long as you're not stubborn and say, I'm not going to do it because Dan said I would, you both will end up with Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor in your life.
Who do you think Phil's going to put in his lineup if he has to choose?
Oh, geez.
he's going both for sure.
Yeah. No, this guy, Jonathan Taylor, if there's a vote, he's voting for Jonathan Taylor.
But he also loves Cooper Kupp.
He loves Cooper Kupp. He does. Fun debate. Okay, let's get to tight end where we can punt. We can punt this position. You know, you need savings. There's plenty of guys in the 3K range that are probably playable here. And Cole Kmet, you mentioned earlier, he's the one kind of popping on our projections here at about 14, 15%. And then a few other names we're seeing, Higbee and Gronk as kind of guys who might be somewhat popular. John, those the names for you? Is there somebody else that you're looking at potentially here this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a position that this year hasn't been as fun. I don't know why. I don't know, just in my experience, like I feel like that in previous years, we've always had a lot to debate at this position. And this year it's felt like almost like kicker used to fill. Maybe not that bad, but
Travis Kelce's washed. That's why.
Could be because Travis.
Well, he played a lot of island games, and then you had Waller get hurt pretty much most of the season. Yeah. And
Kittle, everyone too. Hates Mark Andrews.
Yeah, yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Except for whatever reason, it's not been a fun position. But this week, Cole Kmet is near the top of the list or at the top of the list. The other tight end that I did not hear you mentioned, and I think is viable for cash. I don't know if you can get there, given some of the salary restrictions that we've talked about already. But Zach Ertz is certainly in play there. If you look at what he's done over the past month, he's had five catches, six catches, eight catches, and seven catches with Kyler Murray. He's fitting into that offense nicely. I know Devin expressed some concern about, you know, whether or not you want to roster any of these guys, but I think Ertz will be out there. He's 5,300. If you've got the extra money, that's where I would spend it in cash. Otherwise, it's Cole Kmet for me against Minnesota, and you can save almost $2,000 on him.
Devin.
All right. And GPPs, Tyler Higbee is a guy that I like at 4K. And then off the board, long shot GPP, millionaire maker differentiator, Brevin Jordan at 2,700. Nobody's going to have him.
You're John right Bates about that.
John Bates at 3K, I think you could do worse too with Washington. You know, he's the one that's the last survivor at that position, and they've thrown to their tight ends all year long. So 18 fantasy points a couple weeks ago when he scored a touchdown. I think you could do worse than him at 3K if you want to get off of Cole Kmet, you know, 15% ownership in tournaments.
I don't have much to add. I mean, Kmet's the guy for me. If you want to throw a GPP play out there, I think David Njoku might be interesting with Case Keenum. The Browns are sort of falling out of favor with Austin Hooper and his lack of production.
Hunter Henry, there's your boy. You like him. You touted him up. 4K.
I did, like 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But,
and he scored twice, I think, that day.
Yeah, he definitely did, and that was one of the highlights of this year. And then I'm going back to Mark Andrews as a GPP play. I mean, without Lamar, the guy – I know he only had 89 yards last week. Like, sorry, everybody, he didn't get to 100. But if you're talking about upside and you're talking about a different lineup, what if – I mean, it's unlikely, but what if Jonathan Taylor and or Cooper Kupp struggled and Andrews had one of those 130-yard and two-touchdown games that we've seen with Tyler Huntley at the helm? So it's a way to completely build a different lineup.
I don't hate it at all, especially because Baltimore's got a decent enough team total at 23, a little over 23. So it's not like they're one of these teams sitting in the teens right now. And if it's Huntley or Lamar, I don't think it matters. And you're right. Nobody's going to play him. I think we've got him, under 2%. So yeah. you could probably still play him with one of those two big name guys. Obviously, you can't play him with both, but yeah, I think it's a great lineup difference.
I'm not doing it with Lamar. I'm only doing it if he has – Lamar just doesn't throw to him for whatever reason.
I don't think Lamar's playing, but we'll see. All right, defense, before we get out of here, wrap this show up. John, there's a lot of teams with low – I mean, we just played Buffalo. I mean, you said the Jets have the lowest team total you can ever remember.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly can play Buffalo, but it's going to cost you, what, $1,100 more than Devin's Cleveland Browns going up against Brandon Allen. And for me, it's going to be that team. It's going to be the Browns. I mean, they're the only team in my entire model. They're the only non-quarterback in my entire model this week that's projected to get more than 3X their salary. Kudos to DraftKings making the salary so good in week 18. They're 30% likely to reach GPP value. They're the best defense on the slate, and I suspect they're going to be very popular for that reason.
Certainly in cash games, it makes all the sense in the world.
Washington, I think, football team.
Oh, okay.
Jake Fromm is worse than Brandon Allen. Yep. I think those are the two. I think Cleveland or Washington are really the plays this week. I mean, Jake, they didn't even put Fromm in for Mike Glennon, and Mike Glennon threw for like 22 yards last week. That game, I mean, the Bears, we were all over, which kudos to us, but like the Giants aren't even close to being competitive.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it's the right call.
That's very good.
Buffalo, Washington, Cleveland. And maybe one that not a lot of people are looking at. Arizona against Seattle comes up pretty high for me as well.
Interesting.
All right. That's all I got this week. How about you guys?
That's it. We're a bit short because Phil's not here talking about, players we never heard of. But, this is what it's like when we're in a three-man.
Yeah. It's a little short, but it is week 18. And, the good news is the playoffs should be spectacular. I mean, I think this year, almost more than ever, I think it's wide open. This is going to be our last show. So let's make some Super Bowl predictions here. John, we'll start with you. Give us a Super Bowl prediction.
I mean, I hate to be boring, but I'll go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to repeat, again,
9-1.
I was going to say they're not favorites. So okay. I think that's a good call. What about you, Devin?
So if I look at the AFC, the team that has the easiest path is the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think that they get there. Do they win? I think so. I think the Chiefs get it done. They've been playing really, really well. Their defense has been improving. I look at like the bottom half of the playoffs, like the Colts aren't going to win. The Cardinals aren't going to win. The Bengals, if you want a sneaky team, like Joe Burrow just lights the world on fire at 20-1. I don't hate, but a lot of these bottom teams, I just don't see them pulling it off. And I'm not rooting for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So
definitely not rooting for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I'm rooting for the Buffalo Bills this year. Been so close the last few years, and we see it so often in sports, especially in football, where It takes a couple of years before you get over the hump. Happened with the Chiefs, and the Bills look like that team. I think their defense this year is better than it's been in years past. As long as Josh Allen keeps his head on straight, doesn't do anything too stupid, which I don't think he will. That's my team, 7.5-1 right now. You can get them. And they're probably going to have to, what, beat the Titans, I think, in the second round or something. So they should be in a pretty good spot. So give me the Bills. All right. Thank you all for joining us this season here on the Power Grid. Thanks so much to Football Guys for inviting me on to be a part of it. And, of course, rotogrinders.com. You can find all of our great content beyond this football season. If you're into DFS golf, if you're into NBA, whatever, MMA, we've got all that stuff over at RG. So check us out, rotogrinders.com. And, of course, Football Guys, you've got tons happening in the playoffs. You got best ball leagues over all over the place. There's some fun survivor leagues as well that you can play. You're going to find a ton of content for that over at Football Guys. So make sure you keep checking them out, because more fantasy football to be had this playoff season. But John, Devin, thanks so much for having me on the show this year.
Thank you, Dan. You really stepped in for Austin. So can't thank you enough for jumping in the partnership between Football Guys and Roto Grinders.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's been, you know, it was a year off or a couple years off doing the FBG RG thing, but it was great having you back and you know, looking forward.
We didn't have to dress up this year.
No singing, no dressing up. So it was a win-win for all of us.
Absolutely. And thanks again to Phil. Wish he could have been with us on the.
No, he's dead to us.
I still love you, Phil. I still love you. But hey, we do love you, the viewers and the listeners. Thank you so much. For Devin and John, I'm Dan. Good luck this week and in the playoffs. And probably talk to you next year here on the Power Grid here on Football Guys and RotoGrinders.com. See you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.